Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Coaching with Carrie Live here on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Friday once again. Hope you had a wonderful week. And today I'm going to continue on in my coaching series on this amazing book that you should be reading and following here on Coaching with Carrie called Shift, How Top Real Estate Agents Tackle Tough Times by, of course, Gary Keller and his team, Dave Jenks and Jay Papasan. It's a New York Times bestseller. And this book really has helped and is helping entrepreneurs, real estate professionals, and business owners throughout the country for years in the past and currently. Guess what, you guys? There's always a shift in the market, whether it is a seasonal shift, an economic shift. Changes happen. It's not always a buyer's market. It's not always a seller's market. It's not always a balanced market. And you, as a business owner, have to know how to be able to navigate all of those markets and not only survive, but thrive if you want a consistent, long-standing, growing business. And by the way, all of these tactics and these concepts in this book and in this coaching series can apply to any industry, not just real estate. So anybody listening in can take heed, and you all just need to employ these tactics. And in a great market, if you have these foundational pieces in play, you will be a top agent. There is no doubt. And when the market shifts, if you have all of these foundational pieces in play, you will thrive when a lot of other people actually die out. So this stuff is very, very important. If you haven't made these types of changes in your business yet, you should now. Why wait? There's no better day than today. You can go back and listen to all of my recorded version sessions on this book because I've gone through an immense number of tactics thus far. So if you're just joining in now for the first time, do not worry. We're going to cover tactic number 9, creating urgency and overcoming buyer reluctance today. But we have gone through and obviously gone through tactics 1 through 8, which are extremely valuable. And you can listen to the recorded versions, which are only 20 to 30 minute long each, right here on Blog Talk Radio Coaching with Carrie. So go ahead and start listening to those anytime that you have available. By the way, if you want a copy of this book, all you have to do is reach out to me. You can email me at carrieh@kw.com. You can find me live here on Blog Talk Radio and send me a message. You can go to Facebook, Coaching with Carrie Page, and send me a message there. Of course, if you're personal friends with me on Facebook, send me a message in that manner. You can find me on Twitter at carrieh@kw. Whatever is easiest for you, just give me a shout out, send me a message, and let me know, and I'll make sure you get a copy of this book or any of the other books that I've done coaching sessions on. These things truly will change your business and potentially change your life. And so I hope that you continue to listen in and that you find value in this and that you start implementing these things. Don't just listen. Make it part of your goal for 2016 to make a change and implement some of these things that you need to implement. So today, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about tactic number 9, which again is creating urgency and overcoming buyer reluctance. And Jim Rohn said it best when he said, if someone is going down the wrong road, he doesn't need motivation to speed him up. He needs education to turn him around. And that's what we're going to talk about because in a buyer's market, we feel like it should be just that, a buyer's market, right? It's not a fence sitting, waiting, loitering, delaying, dawdling, postponing, you know, hesitating, wavering, pausing, foot shuffling market, which is what ends up happening. It's a buyer's market, but its very name, it means buyers should be doing one thing and one thing only, and that is buying, right? So where are the buyers and why aren't they buying? Well, the great irony of a buyer's market is that even though the opportunity to buy is high, buyer urgency tends to hit an all-time low. And the media becomes the excited purveyor of negative news and, of course, uninformed advice, and buyers buy it all, and actually it feels like that's the only thing they're buying. Their reluctance is ironic since not so long ago, buyers were incredibly excited about buying and it was a seller's market. Prices were escalating and it was perhaps one of the most difficult times to buy value, and yet people were buying like there was no tomorrow. Buyers were afraid of losing out by not buying, even though the advantage was all to the seller. Now a shift has occurred and it's a true buyer's market. And what happens? Well, fear is still in the driver's seat, but the tables are turned. The fear of paying too much seems to stop most of them in their tracks, and it actually immobilizes them. When they should have been afraid of paying too much, they weren't. And now that they shouldn't be afraid of paying too much, they are. It's one of the greatest paradoxical moments of any market and the herd instinct at its most pure. Reluctance in the face of great opportunity becomes an agonizingly defining characteristic of a shift. And you just need to be aware of this. Most realtors, by the way, aren't. They don't even really realize what's happening. So in a shift, buyers can easily lose sight of the primary reasons driving their home purchase: a different neighborhood, a better school district, proximity to work or recreation, a different floor plan, more space, etc. And they become hyper-focused on price and price alone. And with so many homes for sale, too many potential buyers buy into the biggest myth of a shift, which is that they think they can time the market. And believing in this myth results in a false sense that the buyer has all the time in the world. And this fixation on finding the greatest deal ever clouds their thinking and causes many to miss out on the great deals that are possible. There are two types of buyers in regards to timing. There are those who believe that they can time the market, and there are those who believe timing will find them. The ones who believe in timing believe that they can come in and out of the market and always time it to make the best possible buying and selling decisions. The ones who think the opposite believe that if you always just stay in the market, then timing will simply find them or find you. Well, history supports the latter. It says that if you're always in the market actively paying attention, although you may never sell at the highest peak or buy at the absolute bottom, you can buy right and always do well over time. Logic says that you can't predictably time the market to be able to buy at the absolute bottom and sell at the absolute top. That's just the reality. Timers are waiters, those who wait for prices to come down. And if the market has dropped, then prices are down. Waiters will wonder if they are as low as they'll go. The problem is that no one can know this until prices are already headed back up. So then the real question a waiter should be asking is, if prices have already significantly dropped, is it safe to buy now? And believe it is, and you should believe it is, and you can explain to them why. This is going to be your job. A simple technique to prove to a potential buyer or even a seller that they can't perfectly time the market is to do this easy demonstration. Take out a blank sheet of paper and pen. Start at the top of the paper and draw a line going down at the same time. Ask the buyer to stop you when they know the market has bottomed out. Okay? Guess what? As long as your line keeps going straight down, they won't be able to. Then, as you get to the bottom of the page, curve the line so that it bottoms out and starts back up. The moment you start back up, they'll say there. But, of course, they missed the bottom. They did, and they will every time you do this presentation. Now, keep drawing your line up while asking them to tell you when the market has peaked. And again, they won't be able to tell you until you've rounded the top and started back down, and then they'll say there, and once again, they'll be behind the peak. This should be a moment of truth for them. Hopefully, they now realize that the only way they'll ever know the market has bottomed is after it started back up, and the only way they'll know the market has peaked is after it's already started back down. A buyer cannot perfectly time a market. No one can. They can look at indicators that will point out the direction in which a market is going, and they can absolutely mark how far it has fallen or risen. But after that, the only way to know a market has bottomed or topped out is after it has. In other words, perfect timing is luck. The smartest people truly know this, and the smartest money never goes looking for it. They play in the safe zone. So you know the market has bottomed out when it starts back up, and you know that the market has peaked when it starts back down, right? The safe zone is where smart people plan to buy and sell. Anyone who buys at the top of the market is just unlucky, and anyone who buys at the bottom of a market is just lucky. People who buy in a buyer's market are truly the smart ones. They're buying in the safe zone and living in the area of certainty. They're not unrealistic, and they're not greedy. They know they can't predict the end of the bust, but they can see when a market has fallen considerably. They can't see the end or the speed at which it will climb afterward, so they focus on what they can count on. People who attempt to predict the bottom in a buyer's market are essentially undecided while wondering, have we hit bottom yet? The real buyers in a buyer's market aren't trying to predict the floor, but are just trying to buy smart. They aren't looking for a killing because they know that's a matter of luck, not planning. They know they could just as easily miss it as hit it, and they're looking for a sound decision with a predictable result, and therefore they ask the question, has the market dropped enough now to make a sensible purchase? More often than not, when they're asking this question, they are already in the safe zone, and the answer is yes. These are the real buyers in a buyer's market. Understanding buyer urgency, its root cause, and how to respond to the lack of it is imperative in a shift. So let's talk about that. When buyers are more reluctant than ever to make offers and more than willing to walk away from signed contracts, you must be prepared as the realtor. You must help buyers rediscover a sense of urgency. Only buyers who are able, ready, and willing to buy a home actually ever buy one. Able, ready, and waiting may or may not. And as a result, when you first meet a potential buyer, the three fundamental things you want to understand are their ability, their readiness, and their willingness to buy now. The answers determine if they really qualify as a buyer in a shifting market. The first thing you want to know is a buyer's ability to buy, right? Their financial capacity to purchase a home in a certain price range. And second, you want to know their readiness to buy. That's the personal reasons that are motivating them to purchase a home. And third, you want to know their willingness to buy, their sense of urgency of when they want or need to buy a home. And while all three must exist for someone to be a buyer in a shift, someone's willingness to buy is what gets your attention. You're very interested in their timeline because in a shift, you can only afford to work with buyers whose time frame is now. Knowing a buyer's level of urgency is just another way of knowing their timing and just how willing they are to buy right now. So ability always comes first and is tied to factual answers to some questions, right? Do they qualify for an appropriate loan or pay cash? Do they have money for the down payment and closing costs, or can they get it? These are showstoppers for you and why a buyer's ability to buy is one of the first things that you must assess. Consequently, if a buyer isn't already pre-qualified to buy, your first job is to put them in the capable hands of a loan officer, right? And in a shift, the availability and cost of money can also play a crucial role in a buyer's ability to buy. Tightened lending standards or higher interest rates can absolutely act like a blast of Arctic air on the real estate market. We all know this. At the beginning of Gary's career, interest rates soared so high that buyers had to ask sellers to buy down interest rates by paying as many as 16 points. Can you imagine that? Even ready and willing buyers were often rebuffed by sellers in that market. Due to the cost of money, creative financing became the only way to give buyers the ability to buy, though not the same after the subprime free lending ways of the early, you know, to mid-2000s that we've all been through. Mortgage lenders created another ability crisis for buyers. In response to the previous loose lending practices, suddenly lenders then tightened their lending standards, which we, again, have all been privy to. They quit offering many popular programs. They asked for stricter appraisals and required higher credit scores and demanded more money down. So there's shifts that many buyers were less able to buy in, and some could no longer even qualify. We've all been through that. So you know that these are challenges. So to counter these challenges, you must find workable financing solutions, and you need to counterattack or put to rest any false ideas buyers might have about their ability to buy a home. Knowledge and a great loan officer are truly the keys to that. So by teaming up with someone immediately, that you'll not only serve the best interests of the buyer, but will also help to increase the number of people you can help is going to be key. So find that relationship if you haven't already. As soon as you meet someone, help them understand whether they qualify, and if they do qualify, then help them find out if they can buy what they want and they need. Readiness is about wants and needs, right, like I mentioned before. So it's a buyer's personal reasons for buying a home. These are the things you discover in the course of qualifying someone and doing your buyer consultation. You are determining what they want and must have it in a home. Readiness always underpins a buyer's motivation. In fact, it is their motivation. It is the why that leads them to buy, right? So a buyer's personal reasons for moving, buying up or owning instead of renting are possibly the most powerful determinants of their readiness to buy. Think of it as a spectrum. On one end, you have maybe someday, and on the other hand, you have right now today. And personal reasons tend to be the most shift-proof. So real buyers have real wants and needs, and their wants drive them and their needs and compel them, right? So here's a story. When Gary was in the fourth grade, his parents sold their first house and bought a larger one that was closer to their schools. 3 months later, they had to move again because their dad took a new job that required that they live in a school district where he would be working. So personal wants are powerful in their own right, but needs are the most powerful. They have to happen and thus create absolute buyers. So no matter the exact reason, personal needs create buyers no matter the market. And that's what you have to understand. So make your buyer pre-qualification and consultation count. If you don't have a firm grasp of their personal reasons for moving, you've missed out on one of the most powerful sources for reducing reluctance and reinforcing urgency. Once you understand someone's motivation, you can help them overcome any doubts or reluctance by reminding them of what they're going to gain by buying now. So willingness is simply about action. It's about a buyer mentality and emotionally making a choice about when they'll buy. A buyer can be able and ready, but if they're not willing, then they're just going to wait. The truth is that a shift in the market can absolutely impact a buyer's willingness, making them more wary and less eager to buy. It's the fear of making a mistake overruling the faith that they can make a good decision, and it can cause even the most able and ready to become less willing to buy at that moment. The challenge is that once someone has a belief that they can or should wait, it can be very hard for them to move off this position. only willing buyers buy. So in a true seller's market, buyers usually fear missing out on accelerating home values, right? Once the market starts to shift, however, then they fear overpaying, like I mentioned earlier in the session. This is troublesome since the fear of overpaying can not only make buyers reluctant to make offers, but can also lead to buyer's remorse. Buyer reluctant leads to fewer contracts, and buyer remorse leads to more cancellations. Some days it can truly feel like you're running up a descending escalator, exerting a lot of energy and effort with little progress to show for it. One step forward and two steps back, right? We've all been there. Willingness not only has to be there at the start of the buying process, but it has to be checked on a regular basis to make sure it remains intact. So just as an unwilling buyer can become willing, a willing buyer can become unwilling. And this means you must be on your toes from start to finish, or you could be in for a big surprise. So to get willing buyers to close to the closing table and into their new home, you will absolutely have to check in regularly with them until they move in. Don't back off and don't assume anything. Don't take your willing buyer for granted. Touch base regularly and touch base often. Head off any issues you see coming. Willing buyers buy into the process every step of the way, and everyone else has to be continually re-energized and recommitted to get to the closing table. Willingness in a shift is a precious thing. Nurture it, support it, and truly appreciate it. Buyers can easily become paralyzed in a shift, like I said before. Too much information, too many choices, and too many opinions can cause confusion and fear. Able and ready buyers become confused about what to do and afraid again to make a mistake. Instead of stepping up and being willing to buy, they back off and try to wait the market out. And you must help people find confidence and clarity if they are to become willing buyers. All of this, buyer ability, readiness, and willingness, add up to one key decision for you. Are they worth investing your time, your money, and your effort when all those resources are already stretched? In a shift, you'll want to think of this as a simple yes or no question. Either they are able, ready, and willing, or they simply are not. There are no shades of gray here, and buyers who are willing to have a sense of urgency are the ones that you need to work with. Buyers who aren't willing are reluctant, period. You want to avoid the reluctant and you want to work with the urgent. And if you can't help a buyer overcome their reluctance today, it may be better to drop them into your cultivation program and check back with them another day. Your focus must be on the motivated. While it's true you can't motivate a buyer, you can motivate them. There are proven ways that you can educate buyers on the market, support their, you know, tapping into their personal reasons for moving, and help them overcome their fears in their order to, you know, get them to become buyers now. Three ways to energize buyer urgency. Number one, become the local economist of choice. This is a must. Number two, help them tap into their why. Figure out why that they really want to move. And number three, address the buyer reluctance. So let's quick talk about these things. Number one, be the local economist of choice. I once heard someone laughingly say, some of my best thinking was done by other people. I don't know about the best part of this, but unfortunately, when it comes to buying real estate in a shift, I do believe that most buyers are letting others do too much of their thinking for them. So these other people might include family, friends, and of course the media. On one hand, there's nothing wrong with this. A lot of good information can come from these sources. And on the other hand, if these are the only real estate information sources people are using, then they're just truly not getting the entire story, right? So what's missing? Expert advice is missing. While we read and ask people for information and advice on a variety of subjects, when we need specific information and opinions to make a serious decision, we seek a professional, right? From health issues to diagnosing your car's engine problems, we invariably put the most weight on the information and opinion of a trained professional who specializes in a specific area, right? Absolutely we do. So why not real estate as well? Because everyone, including the media, thinks that they're an expert in real estate. That's just the truth. Buyers need professional advice in a shift more than ever. The challenge is that most don't realize it. They've read the newspapers and magazines. They listen to the news. They've talked to some friends and family members, and they have formed an opinion. So far, so good. The problem is that more than likely they've not gotten the entire story about the market or how to approach it. They believe they are fully informed, but they're truly not. The media rarely tells the whole story. We all know that, and most people have limited experience. They don't buy houses every single day, right? Every single week, month, or even every single year. So as a result, buyers are either half-informed or they're misinformed, and either is dangerous because they lead to decisions that are poorly formed. So what can you do? You become the professional voice they listen to. You become their economist of choice. Buyers bring their ability and readiness to buy to the market. So what are they getting from others? Some knowledge and some instruction, but mostly economic and market perspective. It's usually these opinions by others that steal away a buyer's willingness. And this is where you can provide a truly, truly valuable service. So by providing useful information and a balanced perspective, you can create more willing buyers. Most people allow their level of willingness to be greatly impacted by the perception others have about the market. Your goal is to round out their economic understanding and their market knowledge so they have the complete picture. Willingness lives at a buyer's market expectations. Notice, I didn't say market realities. Expectations are what drives willingness. They can be fact-based but tend to be more emotion-based. A buyer's sense of the market can be basically become a tailwind that drives them forward or a headwind that stops them cold in their tracks. So some people look like buyers because they're able and ready to buy, but then you find out that instead of willing to buy, they're waiting, and their perception of the market wherever they got it from is that they should wait. If you are to reach your sales goals in a shift, you must develop a strategy for returning your buyers to reason and confidence. You must help them understand that this is a good time to buy, not because it benefits you, because it benefits them. You start by influencing their rational thinking with numbers and facts. If you don't do this, you'll never get a chance to address any emotional resistance that may have built up. Find every possible way to overcome the media-driven real estate problem out there, because that's not all facts. We know that. You need to be the one with the facts. Challenge yourself to become the local real estate economist of choice for any potential buyer that you meet. Educate them that real estate is a cyclical business. All of this has happened before, and it will happen again. What goes up must come down, and more important, what goes down always comes back up. Home values will most certainly continue their longstanding trend of appreciation over time, and at the very least, inflation will see to that. And equity buildup through mortgage debt paydown still remains a proven path to financial wealth. You will have to constantly educate and remind buyers of these economic certainties. The extreme mobility of buyers today has led to some unrealistic expectations that will surface in a shift. It's basically a case of people wanting to bend market reality to reflect their mobile lifestyle, right? Somehow people have been led to believe that they can buy and sell every 3 to 5 years and make a killing on both ends. Well, of course, after the shifted market that we've all been through, they now think differently about that, but that has really for a long time been the case. This economic idea, of course, as we know, is just unrealistic, and any successful real estate investor will tell you that real wealth comes from the combination of any appreciation plus debt paydown. And for home buyers, this can be further enhanced by any available, tax advantages for home ownership. And while it's often possible to buy good value, not every home sale results in a windfall, of course. But when you know, people will still buy and sell homes, even if they lose money, and they'll do it again. Why? Well, because they wanted another home, right? People will do that always. As an expert, you can teach buyers about realistic economic expectations, and that's what you need to do. They can't sell high and buy low at the same time, and if they sell and then buy during a seller's market, they will get more when they sell and then pay more when they buy. When they sell and then buy in a buyer's market, they will get less from their sale but be able to make it up with greater savings when they buy. And in the end, home ownership is best viewed as a long-term investment, just like the stock market or any other sound investment. Short-term buying will always put anyone at the mercy of the market, and the biggest gains are made from holding over longer periods of time, not constantly buying and selling in short term. So buyers should know that buying the family home and playing the market are two very different things, and you need to be able to talk to them about that. As an agent and a local real estate economist of choice, you must communicate the economic and market factors to buyers every chance you get. In your newsletter, on your website or blog, in your marketing pieces, on social media, advertising, continuously communicate local market stats, financial information, and economic facts. Give a historical perspective as well as a current one. Offset a national perspective with a local one. Show buyers the local market information, your area's job growth, population growth, household income increases, the factual decline in area home values, etc. Share current interest rates and financing options. In a buyer's market, the presentation of these facts generally adds up to a powerful argument of why to buy now. And in fact, you will regularly point out how this translates into a buying opportunity that once gone most likely won't come back until the next cycle, and then it will be at the higher prices. It's your job to help buyers understand this. The key here is not to appear to be self-serving or simply offering up your own opinions. You need to cite the sources and quote the experts. You really need to know your stuff. Often, the same articles that create a gloomy outlook for sellers report real market stats that can prove that it's an opportune time for buyers. And if the local real estate section interprets a decline in local prices as creating risk, you can use those same stats to make your buy value or to trade up, right? So market expectations are powerful sources of motivation for buyers, and you want to be the one setting these expectations. It's unlikely that anyone giving your buyer as advice, whether from a national columnist, a coworker, or even a family member, knows as much as you know about the local market. You are the research-based expert. You are the trusted advisor. If you're not, you need to become one. Finally, share the success stories of people who have recently made the decision to buy and are very happy that they followed through with their purchase. I can't overstate the importance of collecting and sharing these authentic personal stories. By sharing them, it will give a buyer reassurance both that it's okay to buy and that others are in fact doing it. The market isn't dead or dormant, and they need to see that. Also realize that it's only natural for buyers to be a little skeptical when you're telling them, quote, it's a good time to buy. Show them they're not alone by backing up your sound advice with credible success stories. When the market shifts, you must become more than just a real estate salesperson to a buyer. You must actually become their local market authority and the real estate expert they know and trust, so that everything and anything they hear about real estate, they will filter through your advice. Be their local economist of choice. By the way, you should always be that, not just in a shifting market, right? So step up your game if you aren't that, if you don't feel like you research enough, if you don't spend enough time knowing the market, if you don't spend enough time sharing it with others. Now's the time to step up your game and do that. Then you need to tap into their why. At the end of the day, nothing trumps a buyer's personal motivations and reasons for moving. Compelling personal motives guide people through their lives and sit at the heart of their biggest decisions. Buying a home is no different. There are some pretty big and important reasons attached to buying a home. The list can be as long and as varied as you can imagine. People move because, you know, you finish the sentence. A new job, a new baby, a new marriage, retirement, being closer to family or certain places, a divorce, a death, a bright vision of a new life elsewhere. Tapping into someone's list of reasons is getting them in touch with their heart as well as their head. Invariable, a factual reason for buying has an emotional string attached to it. And you need to tap into someone's why. Why is helping them find out that the string and what's attached to their head and pulling it so that the heart sits equally with the head, right? Whatever the reason, I've learned that these internal motivations are among the most powerful of all. So especially in a shift, you must tap into their reasons for moving. And the best way to get to understand a client's motivation is to ask personal questions, right? Why are you thinking about buying? Really, tell me more. Now, what will that do for you? What will that mean for your family? When you have their answer, you must keep it on the tip of your tongue and at the top of their mind. It is the central topic that defines all of your conversations. In our book, Your First Home, Gary Keller also wrote that, he tells the story of Steve and Denise. Their story happened in a true buyer's market. They were getting married, so they had met to discuss, you know, buying their very first home. And as they visited, Gary drew a line down the middle of the sheet of paper and wrote wants on one side and needs on the other. And then he had them share with him all their wants and needs for their first home. High interest rates had made it a buyer's market, but since their price range was low for the area where they wanted to live, you know, he was having trouble finding even one house to show them. And as luck would have it, the day that they were going to look at houses, the perfect home for them right in their chosen area came on the market. And they were the very first buyers to go through it. And as they got back to the front door, you know, basically, Gary said he almost had a heart attack when he heard Denise say to Steve, and just think, this is the first one we've seen. Gary basically asked them to sit down on the couch right there in the new home, and he pulled out their wants and needs sheet and handed it to them and said, you know, this home has everything that you want and everything that you need, right? And they quickly went through it and agreed. And then he said, and if you leave here without buying this home, it will be gone. The very next buyer who walks in this house will buy it, and it will be gone forever. Can you live with that? And they bought it on the spot and never regretted it. And so talking about personal wants and need is not manipulation. It's simply reminding people what they want to buy and why. And actually, you know, you should consider it your fiduciary duty. You have to know that in life, it's much better to be able to say, I'm glad I did than I wish I had, right? And you really need to believe that. In fact, you have to know it's, you know, a lesson to live by, and it's guided people that are very successful in real estate to how they should advise their customers. And you should also. And the reality is that people will get wrapped up in and forget really what their true wants and needs are, because this process can be very overwhelming, exciting, and nerve-wracking all at the same time. So you have to be the one, you know, to basically help them understand and remember what it is they're looking for, what it is they really truly want and need. So the reality is, if you don't set those expectations, you don't go over those wants and needs, then you're actually going to find out that they're going to get cold feet, and it can lead to regrets. And reluctance can translate into remorse. So you don't want to have that happen to you as a professional. On the other hand, you know, if you really help them to understand what they want and need and guide them down the wrong path, you will definitely cherish the emotional thank yous from clients who are so happy that you helped them overcome their fears and get into the home that they truly do love. In the end, your buyers must make the decision. Your job is just to help them make the best decision for their family and their circumstances, and often that truly will require you to tap into their motivations and keep them tapped into it when they get so overwhelmed, and you need to do that from the first time you meet them all the way through to closing. That's part of your job, and they will thank you for it. Lastly, you need to overcome their buyer reluctance. When people have a good reason to buy, they just do that. Except in a shift. When the market changes, it can throw people off of balance, like we've talked about. They're going along with their life, and then the market tosses a wrench into the engine driving their decisions. And all of a sudden, they're not sure of themselves, and they're hesitant to move forward, and they want and may even need to buy, but yet they hold back. And it's frustrating for you, and it's frustrating for them, and they need someone to intervene and help them overcome their reluctance, and they need someone to show them that it's okay and give them permission to buy now. In the end, you are being the highest level of a fiduciary when you don't let should-be buyers cave into their sense that it is better to wait. The reality that people must face is that their expectations may not be true, right? They may be faulty. Reluctant buyers clearly think that prices will go lower, that they will certainly get a better deal. Well, that might be true for overpriced houses in any market and might even be true for all of the houses in this market. But if prices have already significantly dropped, then the best homes may not go much lower. And so unless you're a psychic or a gambler, like I've talked about, then it's time to buy now. And you need to educate them on that, because pretty soon they're going to want to buy. Prices are going to go up. They've missed the boat, and then they're mad at you, right? So since no one can predict the market and prices have already dropped considerably, waiting any longer no longer really makes sense, and you need to show them. So test this with any buyer. Ask them this question. Do you think that prices have dropped? They'll answer yes. Next, ask, do you think they'll go back up? Again, they'll say yes eventually. Then ask, so aren't you then saying that it's actually okay to be out buying again? They're caught and they may not answer. That's okay. Go ahead and ask them one last question. Given how you feel, if we found the home today that met all your needs and most of your wants, is there any reason why you wouldn't make an offer to purchase that home today? Pause and then add one last thing. Sellers are in the same situation you're in. They also know prices will come back up someday, but they don't know when. Genuine sellers want to or need to sell now, but they have fears too. They don't know if prices will go lower either, so they can sell today. If they can sell today, they will. That means they are ready to deal because they're afraid today might be the best price they'll get. This makes most very willing to consider all reasonable offers. Once the market settles to, or shows any sign of improvement, opportunities will start slipping away. The very moment sellers no longer have to make concessions, they won't. And since there's almost always, groupthink at play with all the waiting buyers, the pent-up demand will show back up and buyers may be faced with mounting competition for the best homes available. And that's the picture you have to paint when you're sitting in front of your buyer. It's a great time, to use the different graphs that I just talked about, where you basically draw the line all the way down and then draw it back up and draw it down again, right? And we shared that. If you have the book Shift, it's on page 149 and 154 in tactic number 7. And then in tactic number 8, we've got a couple other graphs as well. So either way, this is the time to put your sales skills to work, right? Because a buyer's market is a skill-based market, and you are best served to practice your scripts, find a coach, engage in regular role play with a partner, get familiar with the proven best practices for helping your buyers make good decisions. Of course, becoming really, really educated on the market to be the economist of choice for them. So basically, really quickly, I just want to talk about 4 strategies to overcome buyer reluctance. So number 1 is why wait, the hazards of timing the market. Number 2 is trading up, the opportunity of a down market. Number 3 is less is more, narrowing the field. And number 4 is find the best buy, get while the getting's good, is what we call that one. So number 1, why wait, the hazards of timing the market. We've talked a little bit about this already, so I'll make it brief. But basically, buyers who choose to wait until prices come down more are also gambling the interest rates will hold steady or drop. What is not widely understood is the impact interest rates can have on the real monthly cost of home ownership. So even a 10% drop in home prices is immediately nullified by a mere 1 percentage point increase in interest rates on a 30-year mortgage. So the relationship between interest rates and home pricing remains essentially the same at any price point. you want your buyers to avoid trying to time the market. Not only does it almost never work, but it certainly can't be done from the sidelines. They have to be in the market to take advantage of the market. So you can show them how all of these factors play into it, and they can't time the market perfectly. So explain that to them. On page 189 of the shift book, it talks about buy now or wait and how those scenarios play out with interest rate changes, et cetera. Okay, so trade up, the opportunity of a down market. Many of your buyers will also be selling a home, and they're actually feeling the buyer's market from both sides. It's only natural they focus on the impact of the current market on the sale of their house, the fact that they will likely get a lower sales price than in the recent past. They're going to focus on that, you guys, right? And they're going to focus on that more than the opportunity that selling that home will give them an opportunity to buy. If they are planning on trading up, you will need to highlight how saving on the larger home purchase will offset any loss on the sale of their current home. So this kind of trade-up is often the exact same strategy employed by successful real estate investors, and you should tell them that. When you buy a larger and better home, you are saving more on the purchase than you may have lost on the sale of your previous home, and the new home is often better positioned for appreciation when the market does rebound. And there is an illustration on page 190 of the shift book as well to kind of show people you could draw this, you could print something out like this. But this is a great talking point. Make sure if they're purchasing and buying at the same time in a shifted market, you can talk about how those things impact one another and to look at it as a whole picture, not as each individual sale. The last one here, the third one, less is more, narrowing the field. One of the challenges for buyers in a shift is simply that there are just too many choices. So when home inventories rise from a few thousand to 10,000 or more, buyers may show some, superficial interest, but they have an extremely difficult time getting serious, and it can begin to feel like they're looking for a needle in a haystack or searching for a diamond in the rough. But the reason why is because it just gets to be too overwhelming for them. So, basically what we need to do is we need to our job as a real estate professional is to help the buyers narrow the field. This is hands-on. It's personal consultation time. If their search criteria is yielding dozens, even hundreds of potential homes, then science tells us they are likely to be overwhelmed, shut down, or worse, make a poor first good choice kind of decision. So you must either pre-sort their choices or sit with them and patiently help them sort the stack. The goal is a handful of great choices, right? Less is more here. They need to narrow the field. So take the discards and physically tear them up, drop them in the trash can, make it feel, like they're really parting with those things. There's a psychological reason here. Make the point that those homes are no longer under consideration, they're over with. The few that remain are the best options, and these are the homes that they will go into showings with you on. Each one potentially represents a great match, and now they must choose from a few. Less is more, and do the same kind of sorting and filtering as you look at homes. Have them compare the current home being viewed with the others they've looked at and remove those that are not in the running anymore. There should never be more than like five or so homes that are under consideration at any one time. The best agents understand the benefit of this step-by-step selection process, and you really need to get good at that. Not only in a shifted market, but just any time you're working with buyers, to be honest. Lastly, find a best buy. Get while the getting's good. One aspect of the less is more theme that can help you overcome buyer reluctance is best buy list. So this is a list you've compiled of the current best buys in the market. It will be based on your consistent tracking of new listings, price reductions, and pre-foreclosure or foreclosed properties, etc. It will be one of the most useful outcomes of your daily previewing of homes. Agents have typically used market knowledge to advise sellers on pricing, and when they're working on getting a listing, they research comparables to help the seller understand what the house will likely sell for, right? What is interesting is that agents rarely do this for buyers. So this becomes a great opportunity to continually pull buyers into the home buying process, plus it might actually help you stand out from your competition. A best buy list actually becomes your unique intellectual property and a very powerful magnet for people to work with you, to be honest. So you can say things like, for access to my best buy list, updated regularly, register now or call now, right? You can do that on social media, on your website, etc. It's an attention-getting statement. It's a powerful offer response that you can use both in your marketing and your prospecting, and it just might be the most effective indirect offer you make. It is a reason for them to want to work with you. It is a reason for them to get off. Another great benefit of the best buy list is that it can create additional buyer urgency. So here's the point. You can't create urgency if there isn't a good reason for it, and you certainly can't fake it. Buyers can see through false optimism and manipulative selling techniques every time, right? And when they see it, they lose faith in you and the market. You must find real, honest, and compelling ways to help them feel optimistic about the market and comfortable with you as their expert, consultant, guide, real estate professional. So markets always favor one sector or another. An up market favors a seller, a down market favors a buyer. They're characterized by the opportunities that define them. And a seller's market is a good time to sell and a risky time to buy. In a buyer's market, only serious sellers sell, so all buyers are in a favorable position. The type of market indicates who has the advantage. Reluctance is about unwillingness. Some will come right out and tell you they're waiting. Others won't, but you'll feel the unwillingness anyway. It'll show up as lingering, lagging, and delays, right? People reluctant to buy or sell will allow time to pass, and they will miss opportunities. Their actions will speak louder than their words, and they, you know, you'll know that. Either way, they're missing out on the next big sale, and it's your job to see that they don't. At the end of the day, you guys, building buyer urgency is about expert knowledge of the market, careful consultation on their personal wants and needs, and skill at communicating the opportunities of the market to them, and assertiveness in challenging their thinking. You must be open to doing that. You are the dedicated professional they hired to help them make good decisions and take the right actions. Earn the right to be that person and have the courage to act on what you know to be true. More people will thank you, more people will refer others to you, and you will execute more sales. Creating urgency is a learned skill, and once learned, it will create new opportunities for you and for your buyers. Just remember, the first urgency must be yours. So next time, next Friday on Blog Talk Radio Live here with Coaching with Carrie, we're going to talk about tactic number 10, expand the options, create a financing. We're going to talk a little bit more about this buyer side and move it into, you know, different types of creative financing. You need to know these things. Even if it isn't applicable to you and your market today, it's going to be because everything's cyclical. Things will happen. The market will shift, and you need to be educated. So we're going to talk about that in tactic number 10 next time when we're back here on next Friday live on Blog Talk Radio Coaching with Carrie again. Thanks so much, you guys. Again, if you need anything from me, reach on out at CarrieHKW on Twitter, or you can find me on Coaching with Carrie on Facebook, or email me at CarrieH@KW.com. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend. I look forward to talking to you next time. Bye-bye.